Hey guys, following episode was recorded on the 26th, was only released today on the 31st because most of it's still relevant and we had some technical difficulties getting it out. So yeah, enjoy. There will be a new episode that's post Double or Nothing, post Battleground and post Night of Champions, uploading tomorrow, the 1st of June. So yeah, have a great day.
Recording. I mean, he says, why do we keep talking about him? So maybe we don't talk about him. I do have a lot of CM Punk stuff actually as well. I've done that already. It's fine.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Rich.
Perfect. I'll use that to sync us up.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, if you don't want us talking about him...
Is he talking about himself?
Well, that's the thing with CM Punk. I kind of get the impression that if nobody's talking about him, he ceases to exist.
Yeah, I think he really wants to exist all the time, so that's why he talks about himself. And yeah, talks about people talking about him. And that Brian guy, he's got like a right free with him from what's it called? I can't remember. I'm sure it'll come back to me. No, it's not come back to me.
J-Fabe! Just started it straight off there.
I love it when you do that.
Yeah, I bet you do. It's one of your favourite things. The funny thing is, I mean, the whole CM Punk thing that we were talking about just before we went on air there, I didn't know whether I wanted to include it or not. So I was just like, quick, get it. It'll be really easy to sync then. So, yeah. What a week! What a 2 weeks, Jay!
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks and stuff. I'm looking through my notes right now.
Excellent. Well, there's plenty to talk about. There is controversy in the world of AEW, particularly centered around Collision, their vanity show for CM Punk, because CM Punk's got his ball and he's going home again! CM Punk, wow!
Apparently he's suing them. AEW's suing Punk.
AEW's suing Punk.
Something like that.
Yeah, potentially.
We could talk about that.
I would think that that's potentially something that they could do at this stage because I think we've got a lack of performatism on his contract. I'm going to just turn down this track because I actually don't like this song. CM Punk ruined it for me.
Who is that?
Yeah, I mean, so it seems that the controversy is centering around whether a steel is hired again or if he's
apparently
not,
he's been hired for quite a while and he's working at home apparently on remote. Apparently,
right,
from
okay.
what I've read anyway. Like,
well, speaking from experience, I will say that working from home is not really working.
Okay, I quite enjoy it.
No, I mean it's just yeah, but it's not really working from home, is it?
I mean, I work know, when actually. I'm at home. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I've actually seen you work from home.
You have,
occasion,
yeah. I don't.
And you do actually just sit there and just type. I don't know how you can do that. I'm like, okay, that's a good 5 minutes. Let's go for a cigarette. Okay, now let's make a cup of tea. Oh, I could do with tiny in the kitchen.
You're
last
like,
thing I know,
you was like, Jay,
ago.
It's been 6 hours. Go for a break, and I was like, yeah. Might just sit here for half an hour.
But I also have that weird thing.
Do some work.
I feel really strange if I don't host people as well. So I'm coming in and making your sandwiches. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is a BLT with lemon pepper mayo, and
that's
and
never happened. I've never had lemon.
That
pepper
did
mayo.
Happen.
Lemon pepper I mayo. That never
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, it did. It had San Marino tomatoes. I called it the Show Me the Way to San Marino burger. Well, BLT.
Bob Burger.
I was on a Bob Burgers thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might happen.
No,
it did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember
about
that?
It. Yeah, I do. Good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was tasty.
It was good.
Yeah. No, glad you did. Glad you did. I occasionally offer to make you a cup of coffee as well, and then sit there playing Forza Horizon. Fun. Yeah, CM Punk.
Just backstory on that. It was wrestling weekend. It was my weekend to work, so I just worked in Rich's office.
Yeah, yeah. Got a little front office.
Yeah.
Just at the front of the retardis. Yeah.
Yep, the retardis. More Easter eggs. Great.
Oh dear me. No. I'm coming to terms. I'm reintegrating my personality, mate.
Okay.
That's what's going on here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of retelling my story.
That's fair.
So it's just taking a bit of time for all the crazy to work its way out.
Like every single podcast, like which Jay is it? You don't know. Just don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't know.
Exactly.
Is he a robot? Is he not a robot? Is he dead? Is he from 1985? Well, No one
really knows. And how do they know all this? I mean, so many questions that need to be answered, you know.
I mean, our back catalogue would answer that, you know.
It could answer that. There could be clues hidden throughout our back catalogue about which Jay it is, which Jay it isn't, you know. I still think there's something going on with 5G, though.
Totally. Totally something going with 5G. It makes our phones faster.
Oh dear. So CM Punk, what it's sounding like this is all centering around is this whole AEW collision thing, and from what I've read, it seems that they're holding off on the announcement of the location of the first episode of AEW Collision.
Because it could be Chicago.
Because it could be Chicago if CM Punk plays ball.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, they've got a backup
Daly's Palace.
Of Daly's Place.
Yeah. Yeah. Place. Yeah.
Place.
Place.
Which, yes. I think this is absolutely ridiculous, though. Have you ever heard of this before? Like a wrestling company so kowtowing to somebody and like somebody so keeping it to 11th hour that, I mean, this show goes on the air in what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? And they still don't know where the first show is going to happen. They can't even start selling tickets for the venue. Is it going to be a free show? Potentially,
free show.
It might have to be. It might have to be. I mean, the whole Chicago thing, the only reason that they're holding off to say Chicago if it's CM Punk is because that's the only place where people are going to fucking cheer him.
I mean, if it is CM Punk, they can set it out in all of like 48 hours, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah, of course. And that's pretty much why Tony Khan is so desperate to basically have his company held to ransom by the... by the ridiculous demands of a 40-something never was man child. I'll say it.
Well,
come at me.
He's a fucking dickhead, isn't he?
And I'm not doing.
But go
I'm,
buy
I'm
those donuts from that
I mean,
place
I can't
that
do
cake things
condition.
And that stuff in Chicago because that cake place is dead good.
Hmm. I mean, what even is he now?
A commentator for a low-rate MMA company.
And the funny thing
he's
is,
MMA.
Is, I was a
that's the funny thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was a massive advocate for him.
Massive fan.
When
years,
I felt that the Summer of Punk, the original Summer of Punk, was a missed opportunity from WWE.
Or the one in AEW.
I was really excited to see them AEW realize the Summer of Punk correctly, I suppose, when he came in. And then it's just been fucking injury after drama after injury, right?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. You're a fan for so long, and then you grow up and you realise that Punk is just a dick.
Yeah, and kind of this attitude that AEW have had, where they've had to effectively throw long-term storytelling as far as their title is concerned out of the fucking window on three different occasions because of CM Punk. You know what I mean? It's kind of, this is having the same impact on AEW's long-term storytelling that the Saudi Arabia shows had on WWE's long-term storytelling.
Yeah, you're right. But at least they had Mox to pick up the ball and run with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you always bet on a pro who was... I mean, in this case, I think it kind of doesn't work in CM Punk's favour on any kind of philosophical level when you say that the person who is effectively having to pick up the ball in that situation is somebody who was completely professionalised and legitimised by this very system that CM Punk has spent so long raging against, the WWE development and talent system.
What? Yes. Totally. What? What are you in about?
Well, his entire gimmick is I hate WWE.
Right.
Right? That's what it was.
Oh, and the guy that came up through the system. And then the guy. Yeah. I get you now.
Yeah, the guy who actually was legitimized by that system and is using that fame elsewhere, and the professionalism and the lessons that he learned working with talent like Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and obviously all the other talent that he got the opportunity to work with.
He probably learned a lot of lessons before he got there.
Definitely, but I mean, he's definitely not a kid who, you know, grew up. He's no longer the same kid who grew up fucking throwing people on barbed wire in CZW. He's got a lot more professionalism to his approach than I think he ever could have achieved on the indies
but
alone,
that's
if
the
I'm
thing,
to be honest.
The people that come from where Mox has come from in Ohio, you've got like Mox and you've got Sami Callihan and you've got Atticus. And it's just like, they have the potential to be a very technical wrestler, but they also have the hardcore capability as well.
No, this is true. This is true.
Atticus Cougar is fucking amazing.
But as I say, when I talk about the professionalism though that I'm really aiming for though is kind of pretty much John Moxley's entire attitude. I mean, granted, he did have a bit of a issue with substance abuse at the start of last year, but at the same time, you know, when it comes to an absolute, I can't think of many wrestlers who could, for instance, do his run in the G1 whilst also supporting.
That was a great run. Like, obviously, he was wrestling two stars at the time. We've touched on this a lot. When he first went over to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and who was wrestling a different style to how he was wrestling in the US, it was complete fucking worlds apart. It was great.
And I don't think CM Punk can hang in the same fucking lane.
Oh no!
And I think he's proving that every time he's exposed on TV, every time he exposes himself and his crazy ideas and ideology in the press. I am getting more and more. I'm feeling that they're at this stage, it's a fallacy of sunken costs with CM Punk, as far as AEW is concerned. That's why they're continuing to pursue this. It's simply, we've put X amount of money into it, we've put X amount of, you know, stuff into it, and we really want that hometown pop again. But I'm hoping that this is the last time, even if it does take place in Chicago, I'm hoping this is the last time.
Do we want to see him in London? Probably not.
I wouldn't be fussed either way at this stage. You know, I don't think that I've not been particularly wowed by his wrestling since he's returned. So from my perspective,
best matches he's done was against Eddie Kingston and also the Doc Collar match with MJF. Otherwise, it's been pretty subpar.
Yeah, pretty much. And The funny thing is, I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eddie Kingston thing was mostly just Eddie Kingston. I really rate Eddie Kingston. I think he's great, and I think I feel that it was most likely Eddie Kingston's presence and passion that probably got that match to be as good as it was.
Probably, if you want to watch Eddie Kingston now, he's coming back from hernia surgery, but he's on ROH now, so if you want to catch him, you have to watch that.
I have actually been thinking of investing in ROH. Especially if Punk ends up on Collision, I don't know whether I can legitimately justify another hour of wrestling in this house if the only new title
and Strong as well
is Punk.
Strong. He's always on Strong.
Yeah, true. So I am thinking of kind of subscribing to Honor Club and getting in on this ROH thing. I mean, it's only 12 episodes in, right? So, you know, you spend kind of a week or two kind of
catching
up
on the whole Zack Sabre Jr. He seems to be at the forefront at the moment in the promos that I've seen. He's like front and center. So,
well, when you got a star like Zack Sabre Jr., you really want to kind of put him front and center, especially if he's kind of not potentially there forever, which, you know, is often the case with these NJPW guys when they come over and work with Khan. Is, you know, they're kind of there for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then they go back to Japan and do what they do.
Or ROH in general, there's always been a working relationship with that, and it's good that they have that again.
Yeah, it is very good, and it's good that name has been able to keep that goodwill, especially considering that there was a time in the not too distant past when there was a concern that All Elite Wrestling and Tony Khan's venture and NJPW couldn't work together. So, yeah, with Forbidden Door last year, obviously that was proven that it could, but yeah, keeping those working relationships going on.
On New Japan Pro Wrestling, recently Mark Davis has had an injury, and Aussie Open have had to relinquish both titles, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championships and also the Strong Championships.
Yes, they have. It's a bit of a disappointment.
They were
to some
on a great
degree.
Run.
I mean, those guys have been on fire. I've always rated Aussie Open, always rated them. I hope that they're returning to action soon as a tag team, and that recovery is swift.
Which means the match for FTR and probably Aussie Open at Forbidden Door is probably off. To be fair, the potential match anyway.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. It's a shame when because this has been a week that's been marred with injuries, or a fortnight that's been marred with injuries. Obviously, the other kind of high profile one is Mercedes Moné's horrible ankle injury at Resurgence.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I haven't watched it yet, but I intend to watch it soon.
Yeah, I'll be watching it soon as well. I haven't seen the injury either, but from what I've read, it was, I've heard horrible be kind of thrown around, which is better than horrific, but, you know, worse than concerning. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the Willow Nightingale did a spot, and then Monet wasn't going to kick out, and then Patton's Confusion did a spot again, pinned to 3. And Willie Nightingale became the champion. I mean, Willie Nightingale puts on great matches. I just don't like a character in any way, shape, or form. I don't like the character. I think it needs to change. But her matches aren't terrible. So, and she's been grinding for a while now. Mm. So, yeah, I think she deserves it.
Well, yeah, she does. And it'd be interesting to see how
she goes.
And that's the if
women's
I'm honest. I mean, obviously.
Strong title, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of eyes have been on NJPW's kind of new women's division. over the last year, and Mercedes Monet was kind of the big showpiece asset. So being able to see whether another Western name can hold that and prop it up, I mean, that will work fine in America on the strong tapings, but whether that can be that success can be exported to Japan or what the plan there is, I think is an interesting kind of prospect without that international star appeal of Mercedes Monet. But I think if anyone can do it, Willow Nightingale's as good a candidate as any.
Well, she's going to be put to the test for sure. But I think the crowd will be behind her. And if she can pull it off, that'll put her, that'll rock her status in ROH for sure, in AEW.
And other things to come out of Resurgence, obviously, Kazuchika Okada and Jon Moxley, their feud continued, and Will Ospreay defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi, which moves in closer to an impending collision with Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door in June. It's pretty obvious which way the wind is blowing.
Like,
I think a lot of people
planned.
Wanting. I mean, a lot of people are wanting Ospreay Omega to be the all-in main event. I don't think that they would have that as the main event at Forbidden Door and then repeat that at Wembley. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think they would be the main event at Forbidden Door for the US title. I think they would go on mid, top of the hour, or mid, or one before the main event. So they could potentially be the main event at London, but
or just even them working together at all in London. I mean, if you have that match at Forbidden Door, why repeat it so soon after?
Because the crowd will go mental
then,
for
Aussie
it.
Open and out of the picture.
Yeah, we'll all go mental for that. Obviously, we
would
go mental for that if we're gonna watch it live.
Oh yeah, I would.
it's gonna resonate on TV.
Definitely.
So why not?
I would say that for such a big match, obviously the Will Ospreay actually being at AEW All In is still kind of an unconfirmed rumor at the moment. He's not been officially confirmed. It's been massively hinted that he would be there, but I would think that such a big match in such a big stadium rivaling the Tokyo Dome in size, I just can't see NJPW kind of not wanting to have their stamp on such a big match. So potentially asking that Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, a match that's already been aired twice this year, if it happens at Forbidden Door twice this year on NJPW TV, I just feel that they wouldn't necessarily want that third match of the trilogy to happen on AEW soil without an NJPW kind of booking influence.
Okay.
So I'm getting very
corporate. But Forbidden Door
there.
Would have an NJPW booking influence.
Yeah.
And if it was for the US title again in London, All In, it should still have a NJPW booking influence.
Definitely over the match and the outcome of the match, but the actual execution of that match and the advertising.
Oh,
going
but
the into
professionals,
it,
they would certainly throw out a New Japan Pro Wrestling style match. They would not do that.
They would definitely, but I mean, whether there's even the licensing agreement to be able to allow footage from an AEW pay per view that's not got an NJPW brand on it being on the NJPW Gold Network.
That's absolutely fine because they already air AEW Dynamite and Rampage on New Japan Pro Wrestling in Japan.
They do, but
so
this is a full on pay per view.
So I wouldn't see why that would be an issue.
You know, it's not. I think there would be potential concerns on both sides with that being the event. I can imagine potentially, or I could have done before this injury, potentially imagined a Elite versus Elite versus Aussie Open and Will Ospreay kind of thing as kind of a blow-off match, but I just Kenny Omega Will Ospreay is the cash cow for NJPW and AEW, and I just don't feel that they would repeat that twice on AEW TV in quick succession, even though the reaction would be great.
Okay, so I guess the potential outcome of the tournament could be Lance Archer could beat Will Ospreay and he'd be at Forbidden Door, and then Kenny Omega wins, and then they do Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, All In.
All In, yeah. I mean, that I could see that happening more likely than doing Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega twice, well, three times in a year, twice in another.
But you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling love trilogy. They love four matches. I mean, even in close.
They do love a trilogy, but.
I mean, they do love a trilogy, but
I just don't know whether they would love a trilogy that was concluded in someone else's venue. I don't know if they're that forthcoming with the opening of the Forbidden Door. I mean, I'd like them to be, obviously. I'd love to go to London and see that. I just have a feeling that there will be a different match for both of those wrestlers at London if they're already doing it at Forbidden Door. I just have that feeling. That's just my thoughts.
I mean, I would have thought that possibly All In, there would have been Elite versus United Empire. But with Mark Davis being out,
yeah,
I would have thought it would have been Aussie Open and Will Ospreay versus the Elite. But
of course,
you know, obviously Mark Davis is out, so I mean, there is potential of adding somebody else from the group. I mean, why not?
Potentially.
Or they could switch out. They could switch out the tag team and put in TJP and his partner. I've forgotten his name. There's lots of people in United Empire.
Yeah, of course. I mean, let's move away from the prospect of Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay at Wembley Stadium, though, and just say, let's just imagine Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega's definitely off for Wembley Stadium. Who else could Will Ospreay face in a singles match or in a within the AEW roster? Who else would you love to see him face?
Oh, the silence is me thinking, by the way.
I'm just fantasy booking
here. The silence is me thinking. Yeah. who else would be good?
I mean, Bryan Danielson comes to mind for me.
Yeah, I mean, I said that on our last podcast as well, I think. But I'm trying to think of someone different. No. I'm going to say Lee Moriarty, but no. Maybe.
That's the difficult thing. I mean, it's kind of, you always want to kind of pair Will Ospreay with somebody else who's fast and, you know, bring back some of those faster memories of, Will Ospreay versus you know, that kind of match, or you know, the best of the Super Junior style, kind of really fast matches. I'd be interested to see how innovative, for instance, a Will Ospreay versus Keith Lee match could be.
I mean, that obviously has potential because obviously Keith Lee does everything, doesn't he? He's an all rounder.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, even seeing him against just an absolute tank would be fairly good.
What?
If AEW had absolute tanks that weren't Well, no, I'm talking someone built like Wardlow but better than Wardlow, which is the problem that AEW has, because when it comes to big guys...
Do you think Will Ospreay could pull Wardlow out of his little shell that he's in at the moment and actually prove that Wardlow is actually a good wrestler?
I think Will Ospreay with Wardlow could make Wardlow look like $1 million. I really do think he could.
You really could, couldn't you?
The big problem Wardlow has is that he doesn't tell particularly engaging stories in the ring. Like that Powerbomb Symphony is very poorly used, because he beats somebody, gets them in the Powerbomb Symphony, that's it, that's the end of the match. There's never a struggle to get to that point, if that makes sense. It just kind of, the match goes along, and if it's a 15-minute match, then the match goes on 15 minutes, and then he pulls out the Powerbomb Symphony and ends it. You know, it never feels like...
This is
never
not going my way.
Nearly into
Powerbomb. Oh, it's going to do six more.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I'd be interested in that. I mean, Will Ospreay, Darby Allin.
Yeah,
it'd be all right. Although Will Ospreay should win that.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thought. Let us know what you think. You can let us know what you think on Twitter. I've been on Twitter recently, and it is like the fucking apocalypse there. Every time I go on
Twitter...
Is
it worse than it was before?
I just remember how...
It's literally
like, if you remember how bad it was 2 years ago, when it just felt like every time you opened the app, the world was ending. Since Elon Musk's took it over, now the world has officially ended. It's like Fallout 3. It's ridiculous. Like, there is just nothing makes any sense. Every single discussion is polarized. There's fucking virtue signaling social justice warriors on one side and really, really argumentative, bigoted conservatives on the other, and they are just arguing over every little thing, and that's all Twitter is now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun.
Yep, never going back. Can't be asked ever.
Although, if you like Twitter, you can get in touch with us. I am JF Rich. Jay's not going to be available, but he is I Am Not a Robot. Robots spelt with zeros. He can't remember his password, though, so that's not going to happen. But if you have any thoughts on who Will Ospreay could potentially face, feel free to tweet us. Or don't. In fact, the cool thing is to not. We've got loads of fans who just wouldn't, so, you know.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. They're just trolling us at this stage. oh, dear me. So, I mean, the other big thing going into this week, we've got to do Double or Nothing predictions, I feel. We've probably got to do Night of Champions predictions as well. Because there are two big pay-per-views coming up this weekend. Bank holiday weekend in the UK. Late spring bank holiday. So lots of wrestling to
watch.
Is
that what we're doing now? We're doing that right now?
We can do that right now if you want, or if you've got more stories to discuss, I'm quite happy to do that as well. I'm just I'm freeballing it, mate. Freeballing
it. I mean, have you heard about TKO yet?
TKO.
So basically, you know, and never how they've got UFC and also WWE now. So they're bashing those together. They're calling it TKO Group Holdings Inc. And that's the name of the group that WWE and UFC are now under.
So this is, it's like a hybrid company.
I guess so. I mean,
that's interesting.
I just thought I'd mention it. I mean, that's what they're called now. I don't know if everyone knows that at the moment, but that's came out last week.
The interesting thing about this, it did come out last week, and probably the most interesting thing coming out of it is, or from my perspective at least, is that the group TKO Holdings will be worth an estimated $20 billion, and that's before they actually produce a single
fucking
show.
Yeah, but I mean, TKO, it's just a terrible name. Yeah, it's great that it's going to be worth loads of money, but, I mean, could they not think of a better name?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see, won't we? That's the thing. Do you remember the Get the F Out campaign? And everyone was like, "Oh, WWE feels so weird." Now it feels weird to say WWF.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch wrestling after it was WWF, but if you watched it like us in the Attitude Era, it should feel fine, right? WWF doesn't feel dirty. It's fine.
No, it just feels weird at this stage, though.
I mean, every time I say it, all I see is that T-shirt with the pandas hitting each other with chairs. So it's fine.
Yeah, it was one of the stranger points of history. What amazed me about it all was that it took so long for the World Wildlife Fund to actually get their teeth into that. Like WWF was like a worldwide brand recognized name at that point. before they actually got involved in that, like, it was going for like 20 years on international television.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they were like, "You're ruining our reputation. Stop using our name with your blood and your tits. All right now."
Do you reckon it was the storyline about the big boss man making Al Snow eat his dog? Do you reckon that was the thing that finally tipped them over the edge?
The dog kennel match, it was so shit. They were like, "Fuck this shit, we're taking our name back."
I'm reckoning they watched they tuned into WrestleMania 9 and saw Bobby the Brain Heenan going backwards on a camel and thought, "Oh, this is just hijinks, just ignore them," and then just wandered off, and they come back to it a few years later and they're having a dog kennel match and they're just like, "Nope." Yeah, that's it. Final straw. There was, of course, Bad Bunny wearing the WWF t-shirt that recently made the rounds, of course. It had the WWF scratch logo on it, which shouldn't be shown on WWF TV.
It was his jacket, wasn't it? On SmackDown.
Yeah.
I believe before Backlash.
It was. And I think there's some kind of question over whether it was a Bad Bunny got it past the costume design people, snuck it past them kind of situation, or whether it was WWF kind of showing off that they can piss around with that logo again. My thoughts on it are that I don't care.
I mean, I didn't care either. I was like, "Oh, look, WWF logo, lol." Mm. And that was it, really.
Yeah, I just thought it was worth mentioning since we got there. TKO, do you think that this TKO Holdings group, what kind of differences do you think we might see in the WWE product moving forward?
Nothing, because they don't really run it. They just own it.
They own it, but I'm pretty sure as owners they would have some kind of larger overarching plan in regards to how they want that asset to be functioning on television. I mean, that I would imagine, as with any business, you know, after an acquisition like that, there's a 5-year growth plan. For instance, how would that be different under TKO than under WWE's own steam, I suppose, is the question I'm asking. But what I'm really asking is, does this mean that WWE could potentially go in a more combat sport orientated direction?
I was just going to say, more TKOs?
Well, yeah. We want to TKO every single episode of Monday Night Raw. And when you say it's a TKO, everyone look at the camera and put your thumbs up.
And wink.
And wink, yes. I wonder how long it will be before they have a TKO. Just so that they can say, "That's a TKO," and then use it on all of their internal corporate you know, all their internal corporate training videos. Like, at some point, TKO is going to get floated on the open market and they're going to be looking for investors, all of those kind of things. At some point, that's going to happen. So they're going to have to get Michael Cole saying that's a TKO to end that trailer with, right? Massively in the corporate mindset today. I don't know where this is
You've
come
been
from.
Doing some work today.
You know, I haven't. I've literally like just spent 9 hours on Twitter, and I wasn't even reading wrestling content. So yeah, I'm just a bit wired because I've had to have like two or three cups of tea to keep myself awake.
9 hours on Twitter, but it wasn't wrestling content. Okay, all right.
No, it was actually it wasn't what you're thinking. Actually, I ended up going down a Twitter hole about a Twitter hole about trans.
Oh, okay.
Rights. So yeah,
well, that's
my
fair.
Day.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go into that subject on here because I think it's probably a little bit off topic. So I'll move on.
So, also on that topic, Rich is just going to explain that whilst I take a little break. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Oh, thanks for that, Jay. Well, I will explain that then. So, I mean, my big trouble was that I was having kind of a lack of understanding, I suppose, about how best to be an ally to trans people as a gay man. And so I was kind of trying to work that out with all of the gender critical debates that are kind of floating around, especially the idea that transgenderism could be an erasure of feminism and feminist ideals as a whole. However, what I found when I researched various TERF mentality, trans exclusionary radical feminists like J.K. Rowling, I'm forgetting their names at this stage, which doesn't really help. But what I found was essentially I couldn't find a feminist who is trans exclusionary, or gender critical, as they like to call it, who isn't also an absolute raving bigot. So I struggled with that, but I sorted my mind out on a few things. I mean, it's always good to sort your mind out on a few things, I think, especially when it comes to topics like that and how best to kind of foster inclusion and diversity in your life. So that's pretty much what I did. I thought I'd found one in Kathleen Stock after reading her side of the of her Wikipedia article and you know, all of those kind of thing. She's Oxford University's most recent talking person, although the trans students there aren't a fan of her being platformed. I personally am always a bastion for free speech. I think free speech is important, and excluding somebody based entirely on their views kind of threatens academic research. But at the same time, she is also a complete raving bigot. So yeah, it's a difficult one. I don't think there's any easy answers, and I don't think it's my responsibility to answer all of them, because at some point I'm just a cis white gay male kind of wading into a topic where I don't technically have an immediate experience, and I have the privilege of that. So it's one of those debates that I really shouldn't be commenting publicly on in most ways. But I'm still not going to buy Hogwarts Legacy, so there is that. Whatever that is, fucking wizards, not interested in them at all. And that's kind of the rabbit hole I've been going into. I mean, I could.
Well, that sounds
great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Jay. You were there all those songs. So we literally now have 3.5 minutes of me talking about trans-exclusionary radical feminism and its impact on transgender rights, just right in the middle of our podcast.
I think it's quite important, really.
Well, there we go. You thought it was so important, you stuck around and listened to every word.
I didn't actually stick around. I went to the toilet, actually.
Cool. So. Anyway, going back to wrestling, I can hear everybody kind of audibly sighing relief there. Night of Champions. Tell me what's going on going into Night of Champions. WWE World. Bang. Jay.
God knows if I know.
Oh.
God knows if I know.
So...
So what I do know is that Robert Roode had surgery.
Okay.
So you know how he had his C4 and C5 vertebrae fused together in his neck. He's now had his C4 to his C5 vertebrae fused together.
Oh, wow.
Which is not great, is it?
No, and it's also quite concerning for his potential ability to return.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, there have been wrestlers who have changed up their style enough after having... vertebrae fusion, but having two vertebrae fused, especially ones, you know, so far down below the neck, above the waistline, you know, we're kind of talking main back area there with a lot of tendons related to the, a lot of tendons and support structures related to the arms and the strength of the arms, as is my understanding of physiology anyway. I mean, I don't profess to be a PE teacher. Or an expert.
PE teacher. What?
Well, you know, they know all about the body. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a PE teacher, right?
Do they?
I assume so. You know, yes. I'm not an expert like a PE teacher or a janitor or a doctor.
Or a janitor.
Oh dear. But yeah, so it's, or a chiropractor. But yeah, so it is concerning because he does kind of feel like one of those, a lot like Rick Rude, actually. I know they're not related, but he's a good comparison to draw. Someone who should have been champion but never will be at this stage, I feel.
That was a given when he got with Dolph Ziggler, and that was his downfall.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've mentioned that already. But yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it was.
Yeah, we've gone over that a lot, to be fair. It was so loads of potential coming out of TNA, going to NXT, loads of potential, coming to main roster, Vince fucked him over, and then put him with Dolph Ziggler. If Triple H was able to get in some kind of creative control before then, probably maybe have been able to put him in some kind of title picture where he could have actually been one of the main stars, but nah, nothing.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Who knows what the future holds for Bobby Roode.
He was the it factor and great wrestler in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think with the in the right environment, he could have very well, especially after that initial run in NXT, he could have very well hit the main roster and, under the right direction, potentially been the next Triple H. When it comes to in-ring psychology,
I mean, actually,
had a monster.
Thinking about some of his matches that he had in TNA, and especially with the stuff he did with Kurt Angle, yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
He's kind of a Triple H level performer who's just never been able to get that opportunity to have such a consistent run as Triple H had. You know, and that's how I've always felt with him. He's not I'm not talking Evolution Triple H or fucking Triple H 2000 and 1999 to 2005 kind of level, but I am talking the fundamentals and the in-ring psychology.
Is this on? Man,
yeah, that one. That was definitely his best music as well.
Yeah,
I liked when they merged it with Test's music that time. That was cool. When they did the mashup.
That happened. Yeah. I don't remember it at all.
It did happen. It happened like once or twice, and it was it was just a mix of their two themes while they were doing their feud, and they ended up in a tag team at one point. And yeah, there was
Stephanie there. Yeah, and that happened.
Yeah, and they were kind of doing that thing that they used to do with that people used to do with Stephanie, where people kind of who's she with, and it always ends up Triple H.
Who knows?
Yeah. So night
because he like
go on.
Drugged her, it was in a car, yeah. And they got married.
Oh, such a fairy tale happened. WWE marriage. It is right up there with Macho Man and Elizabeth. Or Billy and Chuck.
But as we're talking about, you know, people's careers potentially ending, we probably should talk about Randy Orton.
Yeah, so it's been a year since Randy Orton. This week it was a year since Randy Orton had had his last match in WWE. Yeah, what's the update on Randy Orton?
So Randy Orton, so his dad's saying, Cowboy Bob Orton is saying that the doctors have said that he should not go back in the ring.
It's a shame.
But he says Randy Orton will do what Randy Orton wants to do. So, who knows? Maybe more time off, maybe more tests, who knows? Knows what's going to happen with that.
I mean, he has spoken recently of the potential of becoming a commentator. You know, he did mention that recently on the Wrestling Time Machine Sports Kidas podcast. He said even becoming a commentator, I think, would be really, really good. Was that Randy Orton who said that? It's actually reading like he hasn't, but the headline was reading like he did. So
yeah, that's Sports Keeda, it's called clickbait.
Bloody Sports Keeda, I hate him.
Clickbait.
That is clickbait. But obviously people all over the place have kind of reached out. Booker T's reached out and said that his heart goes out to him. You know, lots of other people have kind of been in support of him on Twitter. I think the one thing that we can definitely say won't happen with Randy Orton, or I would eat my hat if it did happen, was the old WWE don't clear him to wrestle, waits out his contract, and then ends up somewhere that will allow him to wrestle.
AEW.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Randy Orton has been so opposed to Yard Tards, indie kind of stuff. I just don't see it happening.
What, he could finish out his career wrestling with FTR in a stable? What?
That'd be awesome.
It would, yeah.
But I just can't see. I can't see him ever.
Because their stable in WWE was awesome before FTR left. Mm. So the revival.
But I feel he's a bit of a lifer. So yeah, I don't see him going anywhere. Even if
he's a bit of a lifer.
Yeah, even if he does end up as a fucking commentator. I mean, people said Sting would never go to WWE. So you know. Yeah,
that worked out well.
But there were three great matches, all of them bangers.
All of his matches in AEW have been better than his matches in WWE. That's fact.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder whether it is kind of a reflection of the overly zealous nature of WWE's wellness policy, perhaps. Because obviously he's clearly been allowed to fight a style that, you know, he would never get away with fighting in WWE at his age. And obviously Bryan Danielson, another example of somebody who has been able to go back to almost completely the exact same style that he was wrestling with 10, 15 years ago. You know, since going there after having to heavily modify his style in his last run in WWE in order to continue to protect himself. So yeah, potentially what would Randy Orton look like being allowed to flip over the top rope? You know, What would he look like being able to do like a fucking shooting star press off the top rope?
I mean, he always did that. But I think more the question is his finishing move is the RKO and lands his back all the time. And then I think that's the issue.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's it is a high impact move, you know, and just like Matt Hardy's backside.
So the amount of bumps that he takes, yeah, exactly. So like within a match, and then he finishes a match with another bump,
which is one of the fastest cutters in the industry as well.
Yeah. And so he's been adding a bump to every single match he's doing, and the amount of matches that he's won, or the amount of times he's hit an RKO.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
He just added to his bump card.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. So we're moving into the 1 hour territory of this podcast already. It has just absolutely flown by. Any other news stories you can think of before we move over to our predictions for the weekend?
I think we should go straight to predictions, mate.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, let's do that right now. So, Night of Champions takes place on Saturday night. As a result of that, it will be the first one that we take a look at. Of course, the big match going into it is the tournament final. I'm going to actually go in reverse order. So, the card, let's start with match number 7. Listed on Wikipedia, at least. Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus in a singles match. It's it's girl versus pooch.
Big time Becky versus Trish Stratus.
Thoughts on this one?
Becky wins.
I think it is. It's a Becky winning kind of situation with Trish kind of.
I mean, it could be a banger. It just depends if they mesh, but. From what I've seen with their promo styles, they don't really mesh that well, so it might resonate in their wrestling. It might be trash. To be fair.
Yeah, I think this is the one match that kind of nobody is that invested in. It's kind of a showpiece match. It's to get Trish Stratus in there and get her doing a thing, and you know, to get Becky Lynch as a prominent female who can also get involved in that. So yeah, I'm not too interested in that. I reckon it is going to be Becky though. I can't see them putting Trish Stratus over for the tiny little pop that they have. It's not a WrestleMania. It's not a Royal Rumble. It's not one of the big four. Why would you have Trish Stratus do that?
Big payday, right?
Moving on, we've got Rhea Ripley versus Natalia, singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Seen any of this going in? Any of the build? Any thoughts on it?
Not really. I mean, Rhea's been talking trash about Natalia. That's all I've really seen. Rhea wins. There we go.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I imagine they'll put on a fairly good match.
Yeah, or no. I mean, Natalia's good and all, but she's not great, is she?
No, but she's always been able
to.
She's always been okay as kind of playing second fiddle to a great wrestler. And I think Rhea Ripley is kind of moving into that area where she's one of the big three. You know, we're not counting Charlotte because she's hardly ever around. So, you know, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair is kind of your cornerstones. I think Rhea Ripley's kind of getting to that point now with her character work and her in-ring work.
What happened to Bayley?
I don't know. What did happen to Bayley?
What happened to Bayley? Moving on.
Bianca Belair versus Asuka, singles match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship, obviously. This is the interesting thing about this is that the three women's matches, you know, on a pay-per-view card, it's almost unusual at this stage to see that ratio be so, you know, between women and men with WWE. It's usually just one or two matches.
In Saudi Arabia, yeah, completely agree. Times are changing.
I suppose they are.
Which is great. Which means they're becoming progressive. So.
Well, I mean, it was the plan. Obviously, they're still a very persecutory regime. There's still a lot of problems in Saudi Arabia. They are still... They're still quite oppressive, but that's definitely the impression that the Prince wanted to give with these shows, and they're obviously kind of moving in that direction. At least publicly, they're Disneyfying Saudi Arabia.
Disney-fying.
Yeah. This is what this is. This is the Disneyfication of Saudi Arabia to make it an investment opportunity for left-leaning corporate America. I think is they're trying to create that compatibility. Philosophically, I don't know. I'm going into global politics here. This is Bianca Belair versus Asuka. What do you think?
I think due to the build and Asuka becoming the heel and becoming more of a threat, I think she should take it. I think it's about time that Bianca Belair kind of lost the title, and I think Asuka should take over. Asuka has also been saying, apparently, reportedly saying that she is very unhappy with the direction of her character, much like Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility that she may end up winning the championship at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of grievances do you think she has with the direction of her character? Because obviously, I feel that her work's been good.
Work's been great, but she's not been in a title picture for a while. She hasn't won a championship for a while. She's been able to bring the actual kind of character over now with the face paint and stuff like that. So hopefully that's enough.
Yeah, and that's the...
So she can actually be her true self. I think that's probably one of the issues. So that's resonating, but she's still doing a stupid dance.
Yeah, of course.
She stopped dancing.
Well, I think there are criticisms in regards to how the
brutality needs to come back as well.
Yeah, and there are kind of criticisms to the fans from some corners of the Twitter sphere, from what I've seen, in the fans kind of. The fans are kind of killing her heel run by not booing her because they don't want to boo her because they like her. But it's okay to boo somebody because the character they're playing. You're still allowed to, as a fan, show your support for a heel by booing them because that's what they want. So I think there is a bit of a disconnect there because the fans are so happy to see this more authentic version of Asuka. And they're being told to do the complete opposite of what they want to do. So that's probably where that disconnect is. But I think your solution that you mentioned last week, I think when we were talking, of her becoming more violent to increase that heel, to increase that kind of heel dynamic, with her would be a great way to kind of move in that direction.
I think that two weeks ago, Jay was correct.
Yeah, he was. He was absolutely correct. moving on. Gunther, Mustafa Ali in a singles match for WWE Intercontinental Championship. Thoughts on this?
I feel that Mustafa Ali is only in this position because of where they are. Gunther's going over, but ultimately Mustafa Ali... They couldn't use
Mansoor.
What's his? Yeah, because of the character they're using at the moment. So, wouldn't go down too well, I don't think. But
what are they doing to Mansoor at the moment?
Did you know? Oh, you know, he's a model, and he's a bit camp.
Right.
And Saudi Arabia is not too fond of, obviously. Anything to do with people who are camp gay.
That is genius.
They'd love you, Rich.
That is absolutely
love you, Rich.
Well, I mean, I did travel there once. Did I travel there? No, I think it was Jesse the Body Ventura actually. Yeah, he went there and stopped a plane from taking off. I don't know. Do you remember that?
No.
Fair enough.
Was it Blood Money One?
Might have been. A plane didn't go off. Some belts went missing. It's all really fucking hazy, mate, if I'm really honest with you. But anyway, who do you reckon's winning this?
Oh, Gunther.
Yeah? Yeah, I reckon so too.
Well, clearly, yeah.
It's not really that hard, is it? I mean, Gunther is one of the top heels at this stage. in WWE. He's put in the work. He's made the changes to his look and feel that obviously WWE felt was necessary. It's kind of changed his stamina, his performance, his wrestling style as well. You know, and his conditioning for that. And he,
I mean, his conditioning is, yeah, that's fine. The way he looks is fine, but I think his wrestling style hasn't really much changed from his older days. Not really.
Not really. It's just got faster. You know, it's kind of it's paced better and more according to the WWE style, I suppose, is what I mean.
He doesn't hit harder than he did when he was Walter.
He doesn't hit harder, no, but he doesn't look anywhere near as fucked after having to go for 5 minutes, you know. So
there is that too. Yeah.
After that, of course, for the first time, we have Sami Zayn Sami Zayn appearing in Saudi Arabia with Kevin Owens. They'll be facing the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, and Solo Sikoa. With Paul Heyman, a bit of a shake up from the usual Usos versus Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. This is kind of the big kind of showdown between Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, and Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Kind of tie off that storyline. What are your thoughts?
We're not really going to talk about the elephant in the room of Sami Zayn being able to participate in a Saudi Arabia event.
Well, my understanding of his original problem with Saudi Arabia, my understanding was that it was actually voluntary on his part in the first few occasions. So I'm not quite sure.
From my understanding, seen and reported on the 9th of May, my understanding, that Saudi Arabia and Syria have resumed a work of diplomatic missions in both countries, according to state media. There were previously tensions between the two countries after Saudi Arabia cut ties with Syria in 2012 due to the handling of Syria's civil war. Prior to the announcement of diplomatic missions would be resuming, Syria was relegated into the Arab League. So, yeah, they're kind of
back in with each other.
What working terms? So it makes sense that Sami Zayn is
more politically. I'm trying to think of the correct word. More politically resolved to go. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I'm glad that Sami Zayn is getting a big Saudi Arabia size payday.
Because obviously Saudi Arabia, they love Sami Zayn, so.
Well, yeah. Who do you think's winning this one?
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
There's
going to be a lot of shenanigans in this one, I think.
Yeah, I think it is shenanigans all over. They're definitely going to see the Usos. I think there's potentially going to be some weapons use, I would say. Probably not too violent, obviously, but considering the set and setting and the objectives of Blood Money. But yeah, I would say it's probably going to be an interesting continuation of that story. Potentially even the bookend to that story to some degree.
Yeah, I think this would be the kind of nail on the coffin, so to speak. But I don't think it'll be the end of the Bloodline. Later down the line, but this will potentially be a massive, say, Easter egg to them.
Yeah, of course. And it could even be the first kind of step in that process. It could start up that process of the breakup.
But saying that, there's plenty of wrestlers out there that can join the Bloodline.
Mm.
So if there were for them to leave the Bloodline, you could bring in wrestlers outside in the indies into the Bloodline.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
like Jacob Fatu, for instance,
as a great example. Yeah, and he would probably fit in with the style pretty well after a couple of weeks. So yeah, it's an interesting prospect. I could see WWE potentially wanting to do that. I mean, there is always the possibility. There is always the possibility, which I've kind of been snickering at in the back of my mind, of Roman Reigns eventually getting the big gold belt as well, because that way they can then count every day as 3 days. Right.
What?
Well, yes. With the whole him holding the title for so long, if he gets the big gold belt as well, you know, then he's got three belts, and then it's like, okay, so every one day that he holds the belt is 3 days that he's world champion, yeah? And then the next thing you know, he's pushing Bruno Sammartino level of you know, length of title reign.
I mean, he has to get to WrestleMania 40 to start doing that, but... I mean, he might.
Wouldn't fucking surprise me at this stage. Obviously, the blowout match, or the well, the continuation of the Cody Rhodes Brock Lesnar feud in a singles match.
Well, I mean, is it going to happen? I mean, Brock Lesnar did potentially break Cody Rhodes' arm on Raw on Monday, so there's been talks of Brock Lesnar being added to the World Heavyweight Championship.
I can't imagine if it's a kayfabe injury. It is a kayfabe injury, right? Because nowhere is actually saying that.
Yeah, kayfabe.
So, I mean, I would say that it's probably going to pay off as advertised. But obviously, impeding Cody Rhodes in that second match after he's beaten Brock Lesnar square in the middle of the ring, impeding him in some way already sets up the tension for the third match of the feud.
It's dusty booking. That's just all it is.
Yeah, exactly. I would say Brock Lesnar is winning this one.
Because it's gonna be short, it's gonna be sweet. I would even say Cody Rhodes is gonna tap out, and then Brock Lesnar will beat him down again, because it's dusty booking, and then it's just to bring in all the sorrow to Cody Rhodes, for them to then triumph over Brock Lesnar in the next pay per view.
Yeah, it's pretty classic booking. Yeah, it's pretty classic booking. I can't fault it. You know, it's a tried and tested formula. People will be talking about, you know, an injured, broken arm Cody Rhodes being thrown around the ring in Saudi Arabia. You know, potentially even a Rocky style complete defeat. You know, we're talking. 10, 20, 30 seconds potentially as a possibility. If they're Saudi Arabia fans, they'll want to see Brock Lesnar do what Brock Lesnar does best. You know, I don't think they're as into the whole Cody Rhodes Americana thing. There, I would doubt they would be, but we'll see.
Yes.
And the tournament final for the inaugural World Heavyweight Championship belt, Seth freaking Rollins versus AJ Styles.
Freaking Styles.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this one?
I didn't back my boy, did I? I didn't back him. I thought it was going to be Edge.
You did think it was going to be Edge, yeah?
I did. Yeah. There he is. It's AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. How I was wrong.
Do you think there's a legitimate possibility that AJ could end up winning this one? Or
yeah, I mean, the last time that they faced each other was Money in the Bank 2019, and Seth Rollins came out on top. So, and that was for the Universal Championship. But I mean, Seth Rollins is doing a film. He's filming for the new Captain America movie, New World Order. So potentially AJ Styles could go over just for that.
Mm.
But then Sports Kido is all like, oh, but Kota Ibushi could be the one to stop AJ Styles from winning. But we know Sports Kido talks shit all the time, so
yeah,
you know,
they do.
That might not be it. It's very 50-50, very up in the air. You don't know who's going to win this one. There's no way of calling it right now.
Yeah, it is one of those things, isn't it, where, I mean, AJ Styles is due another high-profile run, I think, at this stage.
Maybe one of his last.
I suppose we'll just have to see how it goes.
I mean, they could do that, and then the club can become one of the main groups.
And they could do that, WWE, and then the Bullet Club could come back, and then the next thing you know...
I'm not saying that.
Then the next thing you know, Finn Balor leaves Judgment Day, and they reform, and everything, and then they get the Bullet Club branding,
and then joins the club, and then everyone's happy.
NJPW gets involved, and then it's all one big party where everyone's sucking Bullet Club's dick.
Saying yeah, that, Jordan, no, I've heard Jordan this. Devlin's probably going to join Judgment Day, but...
Who's this, sorry? Jordan Devlin.
Jordan Devlin.
Okay. I can't even remember whether I'm supposed to hate him or not.
Yeah, I think you will. Yeah.
He did...
Damn good wrestler.
Yeah, he did do something iffy, didn't he?
Yeah. I think it was proven that he didn't, though. Why he still works for WWE.
Well, I don't know, because... There was the whole...
They're a bit iffy. Yeah,
they're a bit iffy. I mean, the jury's still kind of out on Riddle and, you know, a few other bits. But
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, it's going to take place, as I say, on May 27th. That is Saturday. It's at the Jeddah Superdome again, which is the 35,000 to 40,000 arena. Probably sold out, definitely probably going to be sold out because of all the armchairs they've got at the front, which is weird.
They got rid of those.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Well, we'll have to see how it goes. I suppose it's not as many high profile business people there now that it's not something new, now that it's a regular occurrence, but yeah, I'd be interested to see if they can make this anything other than what it usually is, which is obviously a glorified house show.
The last one was actually quite good. So,
well, that's what I've been hearing, but I never went and watched it. So, who knows? Of course, because it's Memorial Day weekend in America, there is more wrestling than you can shake a stick at. There is also All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. That's taking place on May 28th. That's the Sunday. We will be, I think we'll be chowing down on something. What have we decided what we're going for food-wise that night?
I think it's pizza from down the road, mate.
Well, we were doing pizza from down the road, but then we were talking about that other pizza place and potentially going there, right?
Wait, which one's that?
The Cow Shed.
Oh, yeah.
In which case, maybe we'd have to do that on a pub crawl kind of thing. But that does open us up for a multitude of potential things on the Saturday, on the Sunday night.
I mean, in the afternoon, I am going to Hickory's, so that's good.
What the hell? Fucking just going to Hickory's, mate. Well, there, you're just going on your own? You're hitching a ride? Fucking Taz taking you? What's going on?
Just extending my birthday celebrations. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hickory's.
Fair enough. Who are you going with? In fact, there, let's sort that offline. Offline. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's probably better. So I don't want you just naming random people on the podcast. That's not cool.
Like, what do you mean you're going to Hickory's without me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we will have words. Don't get me wrong. Oh, dear me. So Double or Nothing takes place on Sunday. There are 9 matches on this one, although some of them, as we go through, will probably not be worth much. Let's just talk. I mean, I'll go up the card in reverse order on Wikipedia. So we have Adam Cole.
And Bleacher Report.
I'm on Wikipedia. I'm just looking at the card there. So we've got Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho in an unsanctioned match. I imagine it will be higher up the card than the first match. So.
Yeah, so obviously you've got Roderick Strong. So obviously Kyle O'Reilly is coming back. Potentially Bobby Fish comes back. It's unsanctioned. There's going to be Undisputed versus Jericho Appreciation Society. It's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
I'm kind of hoping that doesn't happen, personally. And it's not because I dislike the Undisputed era. as a faction. It's just I feel they're trying to move Adam Cole away from that and move him into a face kind of role. And
they
feel
they could be a face faction.
But why does he need a faction at this stage? Like, and what's the point of him having a faction as a face? You know, because they can't cheat anymore. They
what's
can't
the point of having
perpetually...
a faction as a face so they can run the place?
I'm hoping that we see less collusion from Adam Cole and more work as a singles guy. I'd like to see Kyle O'Reilly back. I'd like to see Bobby Fish back, but Adam Cole as a face, kind of for me, I would rather that they kind of separate them if they do come back.
Oh, Britt Baker could be a part of it. Her crew, they can all be a part of it. It's fine.
I already feel that there's too many factions in AEW as it is. Like, there are quite a few.
I mean, they did say at the start that it was going to be faction heavy, like when they made the company.
Yeah, faction heavy is fine, but
it's to be expected.
Faction heavy is fine, but I am kind of frustrated with kind of the structure of these things, because it is always kind of every single feud kind of escalates into this: how many people are on your side versus how many people are on my side. You know, the amount of times when you see a beatdown, it's 3-on-1, and then someone's music plays, someone cheers, etc. You know, some people get the upper hand, then other people come down and get the upper hand, then maybe there's a surprise person who joins them, and then that's it, guys. So-and-so's running away from the ring. You know, the amount of segments like that they do at least 2 or 3 a week. I would just be interested in seeing Adam Cole. You want to make him a face, separate him from the Undisputed Era as a concept, and have him as a bit of a Lone Ranger for a while. Let him win people over with his new personality that he's apparently found finally.
I mean, sure, but Undisputed Era.
The one thing I like what you said.
You make a lot of sense, but Undisputed Era, and then that's just good enough for me.
Yeah, but isn't it just like it's almost like it's a tribute act at this stage?
Well, not really, because it's the same people.
It's the same people, but it's
in a different company.
In a different company, yeah, but it's kind of, what more can they do as a group? Like, what more can they do? What, feud with Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends? Okay, check. You know, feud with FTR? Okay, check. You know what I mean? But I mean,
no, win all the gold, Rich. Win all the gold.
They've done that. They did it in NXT. What else is there to do?
They could do it again in AEW. They can win World Heavyweight Championship, the TNT Championship, the Trios Championship, and the Tag Team Championship.
Let's talk about, and just have TV saturated with them. Let's talk about this match.
Excellent
though.
News.
Adam Cole, Chris Jericho, unsanctioned match. How far are we going here? Do we reckon it's going to be one of the more vicious matches? I don't think it's going that way, but tell me what you think.
I mean, if none of that happens and it is just a straight one-on-one match in an unsanctioned match with violence in it, it's going to be Adam Cole who wins, because he has to go over to be able to propel himself into the title picture.
It does have to be Adam Cole that has to go over, and that's the clear result. I think with it being Chris Jericho, I think what we're going to see here is a Chris Jericho style falls count anywhere kind of match, an unsanctioned match. So we'll get a little
Chris
bit painmakery kind of at the start, and then we'll get a tour of the arena.
Just, you know, there to put people over now, and he's doing it for Adam Cole.
Yeah, and he's doing it fantastically. I look forward to Chris Jericho matches. So, yeah, I'm thinking this will probably be a banger, but I suppose that's
what Jericho is going to have to stop being a jobber at some point and have at least one more title run before he retires.
Yeah, I would say that that's likely, and they're probably waiting for the right time in regards to that. I mean, he's currently in trouble mode.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of normal at this stage of the 3-year Jericho template, you know, because I mean we're bang smack in the middle of year two, which is the point where his massive heel faction starts being funny enough that people are cheering them when they come out, so that they can eventually do a face run in the last year with a bit of a gang war with somebody. You know, and I would feel that face run would probably be towards the end, that title run would probably be towards the end of that, or in just after the faction implodes and he starts his next gimmick. I imagine Sammy Guevara will still be involved in it, and Jake Hagar.
You mean after he loses his match at Double or Nothing?
No, I'm talking in year three, because there's a 3-year plan. You know, that's how it goes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 3-year plan is you start off with a heel faction, make a load of enemies, then slowly have the characters get more and more amusing and more over. Then in year two, you kind of focus on the faction, have Chris Jericho job a lot, and then in year three, you get you start building them up again, but this time as faces against a threat which turns them in the eyes of the fans. I mean, it's what he did with In a Circle. It's what he did with, to a lesser extent, on a much shorter time scale, the List of Jericho storyline. You know, it's just kind of what he does. He starts off as a great heel, and then, you know, he finishes off putting a load of young talent over in his stable.
Steve, if you're listening, bring back the book.
He's got no internet. He's not listening. Next, we got Ethan Page and the Guns, Austin Gunn and Colton Gunn, versus the Hardy Party, Isaiah Cassidy, Jeff Hardy, and Matt Hardy. If the Hardy Party wins, Matt Hardy will own Ethan Page's contract. Do we care about this? What's your thoughts?
Don't care. Hardy's win.
Yeah, Hardy's win. Ethan Page ends up as a bit of a cook, you know, and then slowly redeems himself over the next kind of 6 months. Gets some Hardy TV time. Yeah. No, it's all right. It'll be okay.
That was my Hardy impression. Did you like it?
Yeah, loved it. Great. After that, we've got the Jade Cargill division. Jade Cargill versus Taya Valkyrie, singles match for the AEW TBS Championship. Thoughts?
This is where Jade Cargill loses. She doesn't get a 60. She finishes at 59, and she loses.
Okay.
Jobs are good and done. It's all over. Right, next. I don't know what to talk about with that.
Yeah, there isn't, is there? Blackpool Combat Club. Brian Danielson, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta versus the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and Hangman Adam Page in an Anarchy in the Arena match.
Potentially, I mean, the match of the night.
Could be. I mean, do we know which arena they're using? Is this going to be on the screens from Daly's Place? Is that what we're getting? That would be my thoughts on how they'll probably pull this off.
I mean, maybe, or they're just having a force count anywhere in the arena and calling it something different.
I'm reckoning that, from my perspective, I would think that it would be Daly's Place, because it wouldn't. I mean, the Anarchy in Arena match traditionally happens on the football field there, and I don't think that the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada has a football field attached to it. No, it does not. So,
I've just checked.
Yeah, literally looking at it now. And I can't see MGM allowing them to run around the rest of the resort. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is, the Elite and also BCC will not be at the arena
for the Anarchy in the Arena match. Yeah, I genuinely believe that it will all happen on video screens and probably come from Daly's Place.
Everyone's going to be well happy about that.
Yep, the fans are going to love it. It'll be the usual bollocks.
They
pay
good money. Watch it on the screen. Okay.
I can see that being the kind of thing that happens. But I think it'll be a fairly okay Anarchy in the Arena match. I mean, they are basically just a cross between AEW and being the Elite, right? So, yeah.
Being the Elite.
After that, I mean, Blackpool Combat Club probably going to win. Would be my thoughts.
I'm going to say the Elite's going over for this one.
Okay.
Unless there's some kind of, like, you know, weird shenanigans. Oh, Tina Turner's died.
Oh. While we're making this show.
I mean, like, you know, it's been 1 hour ago it was reported.
Oh. Well, that sucks. Poor Tina Turner.
83.
83?
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
On that bombshell.
There's still more matches. Jamie Hayter, Tony Storm. Thoughts?
I'm hoping it's going to be a Barnstormer, to be fair, because they both can go, but Tony Storm's actually been pretty good recently. So actually, I think it's going to be a really good match. I think it's going to be one of the best matches of the night. That's my prediction.
Okay.
But I think Jamie Hayter will go over.
I kind of like Jamie Hayter. I like her music.
She's from Southampton, mate.
Okay. What's that got to do with it?
Nothing. Just from Southampton.
After that, we've got the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal for the AEW International Championship, featuring Orange Cassidy, Aaron Solo, Powerhouse Hobbs, QT Marshall, and 17 to-be-decided competitors.
It's a person match, so there may be women as well.
Hmm.
There may be trans people. Just don't know.
I'm just hoping for a return of Sonny Kiss.
I think you'll find Sonny Kiss on ROH these days, but yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, throw her in. Why not?
Yeah. I always feel uncomfortable with Sonny Kiss's pronouns because I can never remember them, and it's entirely my fault. Is it her? Is it them? Are we going he? I genuinely don't know.
I think it's her. I think it's her. Jim Ross got blasted for saying he, and then I think Sonny Kiss told him it was her, so he started using her when Sonny Kiss was on screen.
Okay. Let's have a look. Yes, gender fluid and prefers she, her pronouns. Fair enough. Well, I hope she, I genuinely want to see Sonny Kiss again. Might have to get download. I might have to get ROH sorted. Just because I'd like to see them do something on their whole LGBT promises that they made way back when they were all about how inclusive they were. And then all of the LGBT people kind of just disappeared off the screen. And all the diversity disappeared with it.
Maybe you should watch more GCW then.
Perhaps. I don't know. I'd just be interested to see how that'll play. So we've got
you
Wardlow.
Should watch Effie's Big Gay Brunch.
Yeah, I probably should. So just before we go, that 21 Blackjack Battle Royal, who's winning it?
Who's winning it? Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I reckon so too. After that, we've got Wardlow with Arn Anderson versus Christian Cage with Luchasaurus. Ladder match, AEW TNT Championship.
Or,
the only real question.
Vampiro.
Vampiro. Yeah, Vampiro could be the one. Can Christian Cage carry Wardlow for a ladder match? I can't see Wardlow being a natural ladder match performer.
Have you seen him do high spots before?
I have seen him do high spots before. I just don't feel that that's... I just don't feel that AEW are going to necessarily book the match that way, considering how they've booked him so far.
I think this may be where Wardlow surprises everybody and maybe makes him more interesting and actually makes him more viable as a TNT champion and then loses.
I hope so. I mean, I don't care who actually has the TNT championship at this point. I feel that the entire thing has been devalued over a period of kind of 4 or 5 fairly lackluster championship runs. I don't feel it's any one person's fault. I just feel that the belt has kind of lost a lot of its prestige.
Has Wardlow had his breakthrough match yet? Maybe not.
No, he's had his breakthrough moment. He had his breakthrough moment, and somehow they managed to fuck that up, and he hit his head on a glass ceiling called MJF. Like, it was less of a glass ceiling, more like a diamond ceiling, I feel.
Yes. That's why there was blood, right?
Yeah. So, do you think that Christian Cage is winning this?
Or? I do, actually, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think it's going to be Wardlow's best match, but he's going to lose.
I feel that Christian Cage does have the chops to be able to elevate a title like that.
Exactly. It needs elevating. And
I think it is at the stage where it does need elevating by a Christian Cage or a Samoa Joe or someone like that. Yeah.
Sometimes it is the person that holds it that makes the title, and Christian can be that guy.
Yeah, Christian has been that guy before.
And he was holding it, wasn't he, on like the last episode of Dynamite? And I was like, oh yeah, TNT Championship. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested to see where that goes, but I am thinking Christian Cage to win as well.
It gave it more value anyway, so I think that's what he'll be doing with it.
Yeah, and I think it'd be good for Wardlow to maybe take a little bit of time off TV and kind of let some of the boredom with him kind of simmer off.
I'm actually looking at a photo of Christian holding it now. It just makes sense. It does give it value.
It does. Moving on, we've got FTR versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. This is a tag team match for AEW World Tag Team Championship. I'm aware of what time it is, so I'm just going to...
Okay, who's the referee?
I believe Mark Briscoe will be serving as the special guest referee.
Yes, I reckon it's going to turn heel, and I think FTR are losing the time for championships.
I mean, it would make sense him turning heel to a degree. I think that would be a fairly reasonable way to pull him off television and get him onto ROH in a more permanent capacity, which I think is still the end game with Mark Briscoe. So I would say that is a very likely kind of outcome here.
Good. On to the next match.
MJF versus Sammy Guevara versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry versus Darby Allin in a four-way, four pillars AEW World Championship match. Thoughts on that?
It's either going to be really good or really bad.
Mm-hmm.
MJF wins.
I'm reckoning MJF wins as well. I don't think there's any doubt that MJF is the guy here. At this point, at this very moment, MJF is...
CM Punk's music plays.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me either. I mean, I think it would probably be a good move for that to happen. I think you'd get a lot of... you'd get quite a lot of fan reaction from that. But I think we'll know that CM Punk is going to be turning up on Collision if they announce tonight, actually, that first episode is taking place in Chicago, so some of the surprise will be lost if that happens. But I would love that as an outcome, CM Punk's music playing. it could be the one thing that redeems it.
And also, the crowd reaction should be based on how he comes back, face or heel. So,
Yeah, that'd be a good way to kind of work it out and kind of, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. I don't know if they go with that blatant a kind of CM Punk kind of thing. I don't know if they go with that blatant a kind of gamble. And I mean, they are in Las Vegas, but. Because obviously if they do that, they could completely change the trajectory of MJF's run. Because if CM Punk is massively booed, then MJF would be automatically the face in that feud.
Yeah, of course.
And that faceness would probably carry on to wherever he went next. Yeah, just an interesting little imaginary booking kind of place to take it. So you genuinely think that MJF is winning this?
Oh yeah, of course.
Coming out of it, yeah.
No.
I'm probably in the same space. I think he might steal it,
but he's going to win it.
Yeah, I like the other three pillars, but I don't see any of them being a legitimate person to carry. AEW moving forward. Sammy Guevara, no, definitely not ready. Jack Perry, not got the mic skills. Darby Allin,
Sammy Guevara was very, very over with the Texas crowd, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was surprisingly over with them. And I think he has gotten over, a lot more over in his time that he's been in this feud. I think it's been very good for him. But out of everyone there, if you say who can hold the belt, it's MJF, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he's definitely walking away with it. However he does it, he's winning.
Yeah. And I think that's our predictions for the two big shows. We've caught everyone up on news. So I think it's time for us to bid ourselves farewell. Jay, anything else you wanted to talk about?
No.
good. We got literally 3 minutes to do it if you have, so. It's all on the song last. Oh, dear me. Well, you can always join us in various places. We are available. Wow, she is really loud, isn't she? She's really loud. She's so loud. I'm gonna just turn it down here and do it in post. you can obviously listen to us in all the places that you're probably already listening to us. Tell all your friends about us. We're available on Twitter at RichJF. I think. Oh, I am not a time dupe. Not a time dupe. That's me. And Jay is not a robot.
I am not a robot.
I am not a robot, and I am. At Not a Time Duke. You can also get the JFabes official Twitter. That will not tell you much about us because I don't even post episodes on there anymore. So, yeah.
We use Twitter a lot, if you didn't notice.
Yeah. Anyway, bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Where is Taz?
Where the fuck is Taz?
Don't know if he's coming back, mate.
Fucking AEW doing his deal. No time for his other friends. Don't believe it. Don't believe it.
No, I don't think he's coming back, mate. I think he's done with us. I think he's discarded us like a cheap condom. Because everyone keeps their expensive ones, of course. Bye, everybody.
Bye.